puts in so much time and effort. We can even take a moment to thank Randy for his narration, as much as we may loathe to do it. Let's go to prayer one more time. Father, we do thank you so much for your great care over your people, for your love for us. And Father, we thank you for the church and its gathering, and especially at this time of the year, where we do so gather around your throne and extol you for who you are and what you have done for us, for the cross, which is so powerful to the saving of souls and to the restoration of relationship between God and man, that sin is killed, and if not experientially so, statutorily, its power is done away, and along with it, the sting of death and the curse of judgment. For those who are yours are redeemed forever, and you have the power to hold them within your grasp and to not lose one, but to save our souls and so bring us in unity with you and also with one another. And so, Father, we ask that clarity be brought to the gospel at this time of the year, for appreciation of who you are brought to our hearts, and that we would share this with one another in the bond of peace, in the unity of faith, in the absolute reliance upon a God who saves our souls and who loves us along with it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. We turn with us today in the book of Luke, and if you have your Bible, please feel free. The Gospel of Luke, which is oftentimes a Christmas story that we go to because of its completion of the early years of Jesus' birth, and then one or two concerning his life later. But by chapter 11, Jesus is in his public ministry, and he gives instruction on prayer. And this Christmas, as we begin to look at Christmas through the eyes of gift-giving and gift-receiving, we are thankful for the gospel, because the gospel is the greatest gift. Jesus has given us life, and life more abundantly. He has put to death our sins. He has taken away the writ and has nailed it to the cross and has stamped it paid in full. But Jesus, in our relationship with God, he gives us a bit of instruction. And briefly, as we look at this passage today, he begins the passage with what is oftentimes termed the Lord's Prayer, in which Jesus is instructing his disciples how they ought to pray. And then he gives an illustration of the persistence of prayer, and we pick up in verse 5 of Luke chapter 11. And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for another friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' And I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of the asker's persistence, he will get up and give as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Believer, what are you asking God for? You know, as we roll around to Christmas, I'm more and more thankful as my kids age. One of the things that I'm really thankful for is that when they're young, you give them silly things, to be honest with you. You know, you give them toys to play with. And you know those things are only temporary. When you find a 20-year-old who's still playing with the toys he received when he was 9, you grow suspicious of him. And, well, you should. That at some point we should pass childish things and really gain things of tremendous value. And so, one of the things I love about my kids now is two. One is they will actually tell you what they want, and that's good. They know what's useful to them. The other is that you actually can provide them things which you really wish for them to have because they are appropriate and good, and they're very useful. I really like useful gifts, as you may have caught on, things which are practical. And as you can imagine, when my girls were younger, as a dad and as a man, the things that we would give them, being girls, seemed like the silliest things in the world. I had no appreciation for those things at all, especially when I was forced to play with them with those things, tea sets and dolls and all of that. But now, we can give them things that are truly useful. And so Jesus talks about this in the context of, if someone came to you in the middle of the night and you were in bed, even if they were your best friend, you would be loath to get up. And that's a great image, isn't it? Because it's true. You know, people who call me at 1 o'clock in the morning get a much less warm welcome than people who call me in the evening. And so that person bangs on the door and says, I need. And Jesus says, not even friendship would get you out of bed. However, the persistence of the asker would certainly do it. That if a person knocked on your door just to get rid of you, he would get out of bed. Great image. And he likens this to the spiritual life. He says, so also with your Father. And you can see the audience probably laughing at this moment. And Jesus says, in essence, God may not be in the mood, but just in persistence, you might receive a welcome from God. You might receive supply. So there's a lesson here. Be persistent in prayer. What are you asking God for? And there is an increasing thing that I come across as I work in ministry and I work with Christians, that as they've been Christians for a while, it seems as if they are less prone to ask God for things. One is they gain an understanding and an appreciation for God's sovereignty, so they say whatever God wills, whatever God wills. The other is, I think, and I may be wrong, but I think Christians who have been Christians for a while don't believe that God will give them. Maybe I'm wrong in that. Maybe I question your faith more strongly than I ought. But I think a great many Christians not only are loath to ask God for things, but really don't think that God would provide. And of course, there's a proviso, there's a caveat, right? That God will only give us what is productive and what's useful in our lives and what's objectively good. And His accounting of those things are different. And so that sometimes God gives us trial. And I think Christians are loath to ask for that, even if it's productive trial, even if they can see the end of it, even if they can see the potential benefit and fruit of it. I think they're loath to ask God. But Jesus here says, ask God. And be persistent in it. And so, Christian, I would encourage you, I would even exhort you this year to ask God for things. And you may have a family member that you're concerned about and that wandered away from their faith. And you may be wondering, God, are you going to save that person? Are you going to bring... Well, ask God. You have a child that needs change, or a husband or a wife that needs change in their life. They need a greater walk with the Lord, and they seem so distant and so far away and so disconnected from their faith. Ask God that He might do a work in their lives, and ask persistently, even if the image here is that God did not wish to, which we know that's not the way it works, but just even on account of persistence, you may be surprised at what God would give you. Recently, I was talking to you about setting goals in your Christian life, aiming at things, and that with enough focus and with enough will brought to bear, you might be surprised at what God might accomplish in your life, what change might occur. Well, also in prayer, the same principle holds true. What if you could ask for God to change you and your heart, that you might walk with Him in a way that's newer, deeper, higher, better? What if God would in fact work if no other basis than just simply your persistence in asking? And this morning, I received an answer to prayer. It was a remarkable answer to prayer. Carol Leiter is back with us today. After a year and a half of fighting cancer, and there were honestly times when she just looked like it was dark and difficult and a long, very long road to any sort of recovery, if that were even envisioned. She's back with us today. That's prayer. A persistence in prayer that God is so good that He might provide. The other thing that I oftentimes think is that there is this sense of sufficiency in ourselves that we stop asking God for things. You know, it used to be said, you know, a chicken in every pot. Well, in the 1960s, worldwide, there were about 7 billion chickens in the world. And chicken was on the rise. Chicken's on the rise for a lot of different things. It takes very little effort, you know, in a sense, to raise chickens. It may take a lot of effort to keep them alive once they are raised. But today, there are estimated to be 70 billion chickens in the world. And that's just simply because worldwide, standards of living have raised. The access to high-quality protein and all of those things have increased. That the world, in a sense, is richer than it's ever been. Poverty is at a lowest level that it's ever been in world history. Human beings worldwide are actually experiencing prosperity. And you know what the greatest danger of that is? Is the belief that we no longer need God or we are sufficient in ourselves. And so there is a less propensity to actually interact with God in the asking of things. Christian, I'd love to ask you, what are you asking God for this year? Well, I'm asking God for a greater degree of patience. I've told you I've gotten older. As I've gotten older, I've noticed a decrease in patience. I've noticed all across my life, I am less patient than I ought to be. Maybe it's just the awareness of impending death. Maybe it's just I'm old and cranky. But I have decided I really want to grow in patience. So I'm asking God for that. And I'm going to persist in that. And I don't know what that's going to cost me, to be honest with you. But I have a vision that maybe I've become too sufficient in myself, too satisfied in my spiritual walk, too content with where I am in my holiness level and what God would have for me. And I'm asking for a deeper, richer, better walk with Him. And one of those aspects is patience. Because everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. God offers that as a gift to you today and as an offer. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Actually, I know for a fact some of you would. But Jesus is speaking in the norm. Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Once again, you can envision someone. If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Notice that. Now, Scripture speaks in a univocal assent that human beings are evil, that we're just broken. That what that doesn't mean is that we're as evil as we can be. It just means that evil touches every part of our life. Every piece of our life, even the good parts, are soiled and tainted by sin. We are less than we ought, and we fall short of what we should be. And so sin touches everything. And Jesus here joins the cacophony of Scripture in joining that in assent of saying, yeah, you know, you guys are evil. In other words, you guys are messed up. You being messed up, you still know how to give good gifts. And I do hope that's your practice at Christmas, that you put that sort of effort and thought as you construct in form of love towards the people in your life what might be appropriate and good. But Jesus says that you being evil, you know how to give that which is productive, appropriate, and good for a person. If you who are tainted by sin know how to do that and have a vision for that, how much more your Father in heaven would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I'd like to give that to you as a prayer request. Your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Are you asking for more of the Holy Spirit's influence in your life this year? Are you asking to walk with God in a closer walk? I tell you and believe in all certainty that if you ask persistently and you seek it devotedly and you aim for it, that God will in fact do exactly that in your life. He can make you much more than you are today and much closer to what you ought to be. Because God has dreams for His people. He has goals for them. He has visions for them. That it not simply be the salvation of their souls, but that they become transformed, different people. People not only transformed or transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, but they reflect the light in which they live. They walk with the Holy Spirit. They learn to be who they ought to be. Folks, in this season of gift giving, I would seek that you would receive a gift. That you would receive God's work in your life and an acceptance of His Holy Spirit's prompting, calling, and rehabilitative work. That you might walk with God and that it might show up in all the parts of your life, and especially those parts that interact with others. As we come into this Christmas season, let us aim to be people who receive. And so, Christian, that's my call to you. But to those in the room who don't know Jesus, you never come to a point in your spiritual life where you have accepted His gift of salvation, I would urge you that not one more calendar year would pass, but that you would answer His call. That you would acknowledge that the weight of sin in your life has created a debt between you and God, and that God can so, in fact, work in your life to remove that debt, and you come into Christ and become one of His children. That would be the greatest gift that you could receive, and one which we have sung about in full today, that the coming of Jesus was not just the advent of God into man's interaction, but it was the advent of God to bring a solution for sin and to cure the judgment that lies against us because of our evil. As those come forward for communion today, we have this in mind. We oftentimes celebrate communion week in the month in connection to Cantata. And this year is no different in that we celebrate communion today. For this also is a reception of a gift, that when Jesus in Passover, which is an Easter image, and when Jesus in Passover, He orients salvation on Himself, He orients the Passover cup, the cup of redemption, upon Himself, that He becomes the gift of redemption. We see here in Mark chapter 14 these words. And while they were eating, He took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and He gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is My body. Please come forward for the distribution of the elements." Passover is God's gift. It is a gift by which God predicts and then delivers an image of what salvation looks like. The redemption of His people pictured in the slavery of sin in Egypt. And so we as believers are delivered from our bondage unto sin. And Jesus is the method, His body broken and His blood spilt, that this payment might be made.